It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. All the podcasts and recaps of the shows can be found there. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That is where you'll get the first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts, Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts, and our op-eds. And we'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like. Big show planned for you today. In studio with me is my good friend, also a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show, and that is Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. It's great to have you here.
That would make it a big show, wouldn't it?
It does make it a big show. And Jason, you know, you bring such care to the presentations you make on the show, and I know that that is exactly what you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management also bring to the table with your clients as well. Last year, you put together an analysis of the Trump tax cuts and how they affected different everyday people. And as we've been doing this show, Jason, I've realized, and it's becoming clearer and clearer, as we see this Democrat Party is not the party of JFK. It is moving to a radical activist Marxist leftism, and with Marx. Ultimately, what happens, whether or not it's with socialism or communism, under socialism, everything is basically controlled by the government through rules and regulations. With communism, basically the government just takes everything over. But what happens is it gets rid of this big, broad middle class, which is everyday people creating wealth for themselves. And so the Trump tax cuts, the leftists, the Democrat talking points on this has been it only benefited millionaires and billionaires. But you did actual analysis, and we're going to talk about what really happens on that, Jason.
Well, that's right, Kim. We'll talk about it during the show, and folks can actually download a copy of this, I think, on your site. They can also go to AIR, that's AIRpresidential.com, and download a copy of it. It was also in your newsletter this weekend. So, you know, if you're so inclined, you can go download a copy, and when we get to the second half of the show, you'll have it with you to follow along. With what we're reading on
that's
the air.
That's a great idea.
You know, because there's numbers here. We've tried not to make it too wonky or whatever. It'll be simple enough to follow along if you don't have it in front of your face, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
Well, and as we're moving into, now that we're past Labor Day, everybody's paying attention to the election now. And so it's important that we search for truth. That's what we do on this show all the time, is search for truth. And the truth is the facts with context. And so as you're talking with your friends and your colleagues and your family, you need to be armed with the actual truth on this. And that is why you've done this analysis. And so as people talk to, hey, the kids are coming home, or well, maybe not coming home from college. They've been home from college. But you can have that conversation with them is, it's not true that it was just millionaires and billionaires, that in fact it helped everyday people. So it's going to be a great third and fourth segment.
All right, Kim, I'll look forward to it.
And we'll talk with Doug Townsend here in this first segment in just a few moments. He is running for Colorado Senate District 31. My friends, these races are so important. And then Casper Stockham, he is a candidate for Congress in CD7. And so we'll have all kinds of information for you. It's a big week for me. I have two speaking engagements. I'll be speaking in Colorado Springs at a Republican event on Saturday night. We'll be talking about the Battle of Ideas. And on Thursday, I will be presenting up at the Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week at 4 o'clock. And then we'll be broadcasting from Grand Lake the next morning as well. Grand Lake, Jason McBride, is one of those places that the good Lord, I think, is showing off. It is one of the most beautiful places, I think, in America.
Well, that sounds fun. Now, last year, I know you were very, very excited that you got to ride up with Kevin Sorbo. Is that the same thing this year?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I'm actually...
Hopefully your husband's not listening.
Yes, I got to ride with Hollywood actor Kevin Sorbo.
And Kevin will never be the same.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
That can go either way.
It was really fun. You probably remember that he was Hercules, you know, in the TV series. And he's now doing a lot of... he's done a lot of Christian movies. He did God's Not Dead, a variety of different movies. But yeah, that was really a lot of fun. And Tom Goodfellow and the people of Grand Lake, what they have done with this Constitution Week is amazing. This is their 9th annual Constitution Week, and I'd highly recommend that you take a trip up there. John Eastman, who's going to be our guest on Thursday on the show, he is a constitutional expert, and actually Thursday's Constitution Day, and that's the day that I'm going to be presenting at Constitution Week. So am I not a lucky girl, Jason McBride?
I'll tell you, in so many ways.
And saw Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas yesterday, the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour. They have been out and about. They are today, I think they're going to be taking it into specific neighborhoods. They've been kind of doing some PR things, but that bus is pretty impressive as well, Jason McBride.
Oh, absolutely. What a cool vehicle that is, and the wrap they did is great, and boy, the inside, you get in there and you think you're in some crazy Hollywood movie in there. It's all neat and pretty cool.
You know, I actually have not gotten in the bus yet. I just saw pictures. Oh,
you know,
okay.
They didn't let me on the bus.
They didn't let you. No. Didn't let you on the bus. Okay. Hey, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We see force in full array right now here in America, and I don't like what I'm seeing. We're freedom people here, and we need to be stepping up and making sure that we protect our freedoms. Our quote for today. This guy, he continues, as I look for quotes, he continues to have some very thoughtful quotes, and I think I've used him once before, is Robert Anson Heinlein, and he was an American science fiction author, an aeronautical engineer, and a retired naval officer. He was sometimes called the Dean of Science Fiction Writers, and he was among the first to emphasize scientific accuracy in his fiction, and was thus a pioneer of the subgenre of hard science fiction. He was born in 1907. He died in 1988. And he said, there is no worse tyranny than to force a man to pay for what he does not want merely because you think it would be good for him. Jason McBride, there's a lot of that going around.
Boy, there certainly is. And that's what big government does, is they think they know better what's good for you than you know what's good for you. And it's usually good for them and not so good for you.
That's exactly how it works out. I want to say thank you to our team before we get over here to Doug Townsend. I am blessed to work with amazing people, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and this whole group at Crawford Broadcasting. And you listeners, thank you to you. You're each your treasure, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and strive to be the very best version of yourself possible. And a person that I really am thrilled to have gotten to know and is Doug Townsend. He is a candidate for Senate District 31 here in Colorado. These races are among the most important in the state. Doug Townsend, welcome to the show. I think he's there.
Doug must be part of the silent majority.
I think he must be.
Well, he was here.
We actually want to give him a voice.
There he is.
Okay.
Yes. Good morning, Kim. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. So, Doug Townsend, you are running for Colorado Senate District 31. These races are so important. We've seen what has happened when the radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party also are in control of all three branches of our government here in Colorado, and, of course, the House and the Senate. And then the governorship, and then, of course, the governor appoints a number of the judiciary. It is very important that we bring some balance and some reason back into our Colorado legislature, Doug Townsend. What are you hearing as you're out on the campaign trail? I know you're working very hard. What are people so concerned about?
People are very concerned about education right now. They're concerned about public safety. They don't want the homeless showing up in their front yard. Those are the primary issues that I'm hearing from voters.
And, you know, that we continue to, as Patty pulls these different headlines, that, you know, what will Hancock and Governor Polis do with the homeless? I saw that they were considering building another camp in the Five Points neighborhood. You know, what that does to that neighborhood is not a good thing. That is not the solution to the homeless problem, I don't think. Doug Townsend, what do you think?
I agree with you. You know, I think folks are homeless for two or three different reasons. One, you have those who are just down on their luck. The economy's bad. They've lost their job. They can't afford to pay their rent. The simple solution to that is stop shutting down the economy. That's self-inflicted by the government, so that's an easy turnaround. For those folks who don't have skills, why don't we utilize some of the properties that are around town that are empty right now? You know, as we drive around town, you see some of these empty hotels that are boarded up. Turn those, let's work with a nonprofit group. Let's turn those into work projects. Let's provide that as housing for the homeless, get them off the streets. Is it ideal? No, but it's better than living in a tent downtown. Give them trade skills. Bring in some of our plumbers, our carpenters to sit there and help renovate the properties and give these folks some skills so that they go out and get good jobs.
Well, you know, I've always thought, Doug Townsend, that it is important that if able, and many people are able, you see people that are standing on the street corner with a sign, you know, clearly they, you know, are able to get out and do things, that instead of just a handout, I think that there's more dignity in work. I'd like to see that we, as you mentioned, if we had these projects, that it wouldn't just be people coming in and doing something for all the homeless, but having the homeless step in and start to get some skills and have some skin in the game as well. That may be somewhat radical in 2020 America, but I sure think that that would be a good idea. What do you think?
No, I think that's exactly right. You know, if, to expand on the concept, if you provide housing in these hotels that are currently not being used, teach the homeless folks how to do those skills, how to do plumbing, how to do carpentry work, then they can go on and get a good paying job at some point in time once they develop the skills and they can move on.
Okay. Next thing, Doug Townsend, and that is safety of our communities. That is becoming, I think, a bigger and bigger issue, because you can't send your kids to school if you don't have a safe community. You can't, you know, thrive and prosper with your business if you don't have a safe community. With what happened with these deputies out in Los Angeles being shot point blank, and then people going to the hospital and trying to you know, block the entrance. This is off the rails, Doug Townsend, and I think that people are super concerned about it.
Sorry about that, Kim. You cut out for a second. Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, I said that I think that this, what's happening regarding safety of our communities, it's off the rails with what we saw in Los Angeles. And of course, we're seeing it across the country. And community safety is becoming more and more, I think, a campaign issue. What makes, just give us a contrast between you and your opponent.
Well, I think the simple contrast when it comes to community safety, you know, when we're having the riots here in Denver, and when President Trump was sending federal troops into some of the other cities, the Democratic caucus, all of the senators, all of the House representatives, including my opponent, signed a letter that they sent to the U.S. attorney saying that Trump absolutely should not sit there and help Denver control the riots. He considered it an unacceptable threat to democracy, and that's a quote from my opponent. That's just wrong. If the local officials are not willing to do their job, the state should step in and do it. Bring in the state police to restore law and order. If the state police are not able to do that, then the federal troops have to. At its core, the role of government is to provide safety and security for its citizens. And if our elected leaders are failing to do that, then we need to bring in other elected leaders that will do that.
And that is a stark contrast. And as we're talking about community safety, I do appreciate that the president, though, has honored the form of government that we have here in America, and that is federalism, that he said to these different governors and these mayors that, you know, I'm here to help. You just have to ask. And I do appreciate the way that he's handled that. Doug Townsend, I am recommending that people adopt a candidate. And I know that you are very adoptable, that you would welcome the help as far as financial or people walking or making phone calls or text messages. How could people reach you so that they could help you?
They can go to my website, DougTownsendForYou.com. There's a page on there where they can sit there and volunteer. They can make donations. I have lots of information in there on my position on the issue so they can get some additional background information on myself, see where I stand, and certainly let me know how they can help out with the campaign.
And one more time, what is that website?
DougTownsendForYou.com.
Okay. Hey, Doug, thanks so much. We will talk to you soon. I appreciate your hard work. I know you're out there every day and really appreciate that because it's so important for the state of Colorado.
Great. Thank you very much, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another one of my valued partners is Hooters Restaurants, and there is actually sports, and the place to watch them is at Hooters Restaurants. They have all kinds of TVs, so you can watch all the different games there, and they have all kinds of specials. They have game day specials Monday through Thursday, 6 p.m. to close, and all day Saturday and Sunday. They have to-go specials, and they also have a party pack to-go special as well. And that's Monday through Thursday and all day Saturday and Sunday. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. And it's a great time. September is such a beautiful time here in Colorado. Get together with friends. We're going to go to break. In studio with me is Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Casper Stockham, who is a candidate for Congressional District 7, is on the line. We'll talk with him in the next segment.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Casper Stockham. He is a candidate for Congressional District 7 here in Colorado. Casper Stockham, welcome to the show.
It's good to be on the show, Kim. You know, I was thinking, how early would you get up to save your country? And I was saying, well, this is it.
Yeah, I have that conversation with myself many mornings as well, Casper Stockham. But we do have a country to save. It is astonishing what is happening here. And you and I have been friends for a number of years. Casper, I never dreamed that we would be in this situation and we would have elected representatives, politicians that I feel are really having a blind eye, casting a blind eye to what is going on. And I know that this is very important, what's going on here in America. You're a veteran. You have been willing to put your life on the line for this country. And I know you're working so hard regarding this particular race. So what are you hearing out on the campaign trail, Casper Stockham?
Well, actually, I'm hearing pretty good things, but I wanted to give a shout-out to Jason because I had a chance to meet him and his lovely wife a couple weeks ago, so that was awesome meeting your friend, Mr. Jason McBride, there.
Nice to see you too, Casper.
Yes, sir. So, you know, Kim, I wish I could say that I didn't see this. You know, I'm not a mind reader or whatever, but I saw something like this coming. I did not think it would be ever this bad, though, you know, to your point. You know, but I knew we were slipping. I knew our state was slipping years ago when I first started to jump into politics back in 2012. You know, that's why I jumped in. You know, when we lost that race, I said, oh, my God, you know, we got to do something. And we've been slipping ever since. That's the bad news. The good news is I'm out there on the streets now. And even Democrats are mad about what's going on with the rioting and the looting and things like that. Now, the hardcore Democrats are not going to say anything, but when I'm in the neighborhoods and I'm talking to folks, I don't even ask them if they're Republican or Democrat. I just tell them what I'm about and say, look, I'm your last line of defense between all that foolishness and your home, the suburbs, and your family and your life and stuff. Can I put a yard sign in your yard? And they're like, yes, sir.
So what would you say to people? What is the contrast between you and your opponent? Now, your opponent is an incumbent, which makes it, you know, typically they say that an incumbent has a bit of a benefit. But I think that as we've looked at these people that we've sent to Washington for so long, and we now see there's a stark contrast. I mean, we're really seeing these people for who they are. What would you say is the difference between you and your opponent?
Yeah, and you're right. You know, being an incumbent and stuff, it's hard to get them out. But the Democrats have been pushing so hard towards a far-left agenda. I mean, socialism, Marxism, communism, whatever you want to call it. And my opponent, he just basically is a rubber stamp for Nancy Pelosi. So whatever she wants, whatever AOC wants, whatever you know, the Beto O'Rourke's want and the Joe Biden's want, he signs up for, you know, without any fight whatsoever. So because of that, we are completely opposite. You know, I'm trying to save our country, and he is letting it he's letting it being destroyed.
You know, and I wonder if there is actually any moderate Democrats left in, and it could be across local offices to state to national. And I think what you've mentioned is people may try to paint themselves as moderate Democrats, but we don't see them standing up, as you mentioned, to these people that have pulled the Democrat Party so far to the radical activist left. We don't see anybody with courage in the Democrat Party standing up against that, Casper.
Right, right. And here's what I see, because in 2016, all the folks that voted for Trump in 2016, they haven't left. You know, they're still there. But he has gained a lot more support. He's gained a lot more support in the Hispanic community, a lot more support in the Black community, and a lot more support with the people who are just watching all this destruction. And some would say that some of it's being caused by, you know, skinheads or whatever that they're trying to link to the right. But I have never been at a rally with a skinhead, and I've never been at a rally with the KKK person. So, you know, so those are so far extreme, they're not even really a part of the political party. So all the chaos and rioting and looting is coming from Antifa and BLM, who are both supported by the Democrat Party. They rarely, if ever, speak out against all the rioting and looting and destruction and the assassinations of cops on the street. I mean, that happened in Kamala District State, and she has not said anything about it. But yet and still, she would go and visit with the guy that got shot 7 times, which is bad. I'm not condoning that, you know, that shooting. But she went and visited him in a hospital and called him a hero. And he is a known convicted rapist, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
So, you know, that's the dichotomy, Casper, that I'm finding so interesting, is that I just saw this weekend that there were 7 young people that were arrested. I think it was back east for rioting and looting. And they were all white, and they all came from privileged backgrounds, and they are out destroying businesses in ethnic neighborhoods in the name of standing up for blacks. I can't figure out how people can you know, match this whole thing up. This doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And again, that's why I'm saying the average Democrat is not a bad person. They see this going on. You know, now the media is trying to hide it. You and I both know the media doesn't cover all the things they should be covering to show the truth. And that's where we come in. We as Republicans are dropping the ball big time. And, you know, I'm just so frustrated, Kim. And I've had this frustration for 8 years. It's not something new. I'm saying, why are we not speaking out against this? You know, why are our leaders kind of silent? You know, they're talking about things that are important, but you know, when your city is being destroyed, literally, and people are being murdered on the street, that takes top priority. You know, that's not something you think about later, right? And the problem with Republicans is that we're talking about, well, I call it first world, third world. We're talking about first world stuff, and we got a third world revolution going on, and nobody's talking about it.
Well, speaking of a third world situation, just remember what the Capitol looked like after all this rioting and looting. It looked like something out of the third world, and we don't want to be dragging everybody down to third world situation. We want to be lifting people up, you know, to first world. And so that, I think, is a stark difference between what we're seeing between Republicans and Democrats this election cycle. Now, Casper, I am recommending that people, we don't have the luxury this particular election cycle to say, oh, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to vote for who I think the best person is. Many times people have not been paying attention up to this point. And many times I've also seen, like, the Emerge girls, the girls that have gone through the Emerge program, they are very well trained to know what to say in front of the groups that they are talking to. And so you don't get the true understanding of what the agenda is, but the agenda of the Democrat Party right now is that of Marxism. And Marxism, what that does, Casper, is it takes away the individual. You see this by trying to define people into groups. So it takes away your individuality. And then it also, it gets rid of the big broad middle class. It gets rid of property rights, of private property. That is the battle that we are facing. So Casper Stockham, we have a couple of minutes. How are you going to stand against this pull towards Marxism?
Well, I've been standing against it for a long time as a candidate and even as a private citizen. But you're absolutely right on those organizations that train these individuals, and we really don't have anything like that on our side. We have things like LPR, you know, but they're not focused on getting people elected once they go through the training. We need organizations that do the LPR training, but then stick with that individual and say, okay, now you need to run for something. You need to run for city council. You need to run for, you know, some kind of office so we can help you and groom you and get you to that point to where we're, you know, protecting our nation again.
Well, and you mentioned, I just wanted to say, you mentioned Leadership Program of the Rockies, and they are bipartisan, and they do not endorse candidates. And so, as you mentioned, you go through and you kind of get refreshers on the American idea and capitalism and individual rights. But Emerge, which is over on the left, which is, you know, founded by Hillary Clinton and all, they train candidates, and they set them up with websites, and they give them donor lists, and they have people donate to them. So it's, as you mentioned, they are very well organized on that.
Yes. And we need something like, we need a partisan organization that trains up individuals to fight for freedom. You know, so we need that. And in fact, as a candidate, I'm going to be, as a congressperson, I'm going to set that up. I'm going to make sure that happens. I love your idea about adopting a candidate. Think about this. If every Republican adopted at least one or even two candidates, we would have a force that could easily walk across the finish line this November, Kim.
Okay, and we are now in the race to do that. So if people want to adopt you, Casper Stockham, how could they do that?
Well, I'm a very adoptable candidate. I'm very lovable. And they can go to Casper, C-A-S-P-E-R, 4, F-O-R, Colorado.com. Casper4Colorado.com.
Okay, Casper, great. And you and I are going to be recording a podcast a little bit later this morning with Albert Guillory, and it's going to be a great, I'm really excited about it. We will roll that out this weekend in the newsletter, and so we'll talk to you here a little bit later. Casper Stockham, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kim. Thank you.
You bet. And we're going to go to break, and when we come back, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, I cannot wait to go through. I know it's numbers, but it's really important that people understand this, Jason McBride, because you're going to bring these numbers to life, because those numbers are actual real money for everyday hardworking people.
Well, they certainly are, and again, I would encourage folks during the break to go to AIRPresidential.com. Or go to Kim's site, KimMunson.com, and download your copy of this. And you can follow along while we're discussing it. As Kim said, you also have it to be armed with actual information you know, if you get questioned about this or get into a discussion. So we'll be talking about that when we come back.
Knowledge is power, Jason.
That's right.
So this is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, KimMunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And at the website, sign up for our weekly newsletter. We also highlighted this information that Jason McBride put together in the newsletter as well. So Jason McBride, you know, if you happen to be talking to many times, maybe a young person, a Bernie supporter, they say, oh, the Trump tax cuts, they were just for millionaires and billionaires. You said not so fast, right?
No, that's not true. The Trump tax cuts gave a heck of a lot more break, at least percentage-wise, to average middle class, lower middle class, upper middle class working families. Now, dollar-wise, you know, the dollar amount of the tax cuts probably did go more to the wealthy just because they pay like 90, 95% of all taxes. But to say that that the middle class got no tax cut and the rich got all kinds of breaks is absolutely 100% wrong.
Okay, prove it.
Well, let's go through a few, Kim. You know, I've got several scenarios here. Just comparing 2017 taxes to 2018,
okay,
because that's when it came in. Now, if we're looking at 2019 or 2020, it's very similar to 2018.
Okay.
So let's look. A couple, here's the first scenario. In 2017, a couple that's married with two dependents, those are children, by the way, dependents, that had $150,000 in income. I think that's a, you know, middle class, maybe upper middle class type of family.
Like a couple of teachers that, you know, have been teaching for a number of years, maybe.
Yeah, or, bartender, whatever, you know, could be. So, you know, those folks, the first thing that's really interesting is even after the Trump tax cuts happened, I mean, we still had talking heads on TV, and unfortunately, some of them were conservative. They were still saying that the poor middle class pays 30% in taxes while, you know, these guys get breaks, these hedge fund managers. And so that's the first fallacy that I was really upset about and trying to
dispel. I remember you being a little hot about that.
Yeah, I was very hot about it. I was hot with Tucker Carlson.
I remember that.
I was hot with Trish Reagan. I mean, because both of them were quacking that out. And I'm like, man, we don't need... the left doesn't need your help spreading misinformation. They do a good enough job on their own. But I digressed there, Kim. Let's get back to where we were. So That couple in 2017, again, $150,000 of income, their federal tax rate would have been about 14.5%.
Okay.
So they would have owed about $21,753 in federal taxes. Now, that same couple in 2018, after the Trump tax cuts, their federal tax rate is now 10.4%.
Wow.
So now their taxes are about $15,600. So that's a big drop. Now, their Colorado taxes went up just a tiny bit just because of the way it flows onto the 1040. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But overall, Kim, their total taxes, state and federal, in 2017 were $27,000, and I'm rounding here a little bit. Mm-hmm. 2018, it was more like $21,000. So percentage-wise, they saw a 22% decrease in their tax rate.
That's significant.
I mean, that is significant, and they ended up with about an extra $5,900 in their pocket for the year.
This is so excellent how you've done this analysis on this with the different color coding as well. Again, I would recommend people go to my website, which is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, or to our landing page together, AIR, that's AIRpresidential.com, to get this information. $6,000, almost $6,000 for a married family, a couple of kids. That goes a long way, Jason McBride.
Well, it's an extra $500 a month.
That's significant.
I mean, that's how most people think, is monthly, I think. That's how they pay their bills. So to think, if you had an extra $500 a month, what could you do with that?
Gosh.
I mean, you've had it for 3 years now, going on four.
That's pretty significant. Okay, let's go to another scenario.
Yeah, and I'd point out on all of these, Kim, I just use the standard deduction. You know, some people that have other write-offs and stuff, this may be different. Hey, how many scenarios can I cover?
But apples to apples is what you're trying to get to.
Apples to apples. Yeah. So now let's look at a married couple, again, with two dependents that only have $75,000 in income.
Okay.
You know, this is, and that's a little bit of a struggle there. So let's see how much help this family got.
Okay.
So in 2017, their federal tax rate was 5.3%.
Okay.
Again, I'd like to point out it was nowhere near 30%, but it was 5.3. Their federal tax was about just right at about $4,000. Now you flash forward to 2018, and that same couple had a federal tax rate of 2.3%. And their federal tax was about $1,700.
Cut more than half.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Their Colorado tax actually went up a tiny bit. But overall, they had a combined tax rate in 2017 of about 8%. In 2018, it dropped to 5%. That's a 33% decrease in their tax rate. So their tax rate got cut by a third. In 2017, their total taxes was about $6,100, Kim. In 2018, it was $4,100. So that's an extra $2,000 in their pocket. I mean, basically taxes cut by a third.
Jason, once again, this really makes a difference for everyday hardworking people on what they can do. This is so important, I think, that people understand this.
Well, it is, and I think it's important to understand what our tax rates actually are, too, for the middle class. And to see how much they dropped, depending on your income and status. I mean, if you look at it, in my opinion, it's very, very fair the way that it was structured.
Well, and again, this is proving that there is more money in everyday hardworking people's pockets. And so let's see, how many scenarios?
Oh, we've got two or three more.
Okay.
Break?
Yeah, let's do that.
So let's go now to a married couple, again, two dependents. Now, this is higher income here. This is about $300,000 of income. I know that these people are getting to the point where they would be considered evil, possibly demons, horrible people because of their income status. And they're getting up there not in the 1%, but, bad enough that we can condemn them, that's for sure. So in 2017, these folks with $300,000 of income had about a 22% federal rate. In 2018, it dropped down to 17%. Overall, including their Colorado tax, Kim, in 2017, their tax liability would have been about $79,000. Excuse me, in 2018, it dropped down to $64,000. So they did see a decrease in their taxes of about 19%, an extra $15,000 in their pocket for the year. So that's, I think that's what, about an extra $1,300 a month, which is very great. Their drop was not as big percentage-wise as some of the lower-income families we saw. But you know what, Kim? I'm glad they saw a drop, too, because I think everybody should see a drop in taxes from the lower end all the way up to the richest. Every dime that doesn't go to the federal government or the state government that stays in an individual person's pocket, in most cases, I would believe is better spent.
Well, it really is, because it's more efficient, and they're making sure that they're getting results from their dollars, whether or not they're saving and investing, or if maybe they're taking that extra money, they might be going out to dinner. And certainly if they're doing that, they're enjoying an evening with their family, as well as wait staff that is, you know, being paid, and the owner of the restaurant. And so I think that, yes, I think that it is more efficient if everyday people get to spend their own money than this big behemoth, which has happened now with government. And I think one of the possible positives, Jason McBride, with the whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, is that instead of government increasing, I'm starting to hear rumblings in my hometown of Lone Tree that they might want to raise taxes there. Instead, I think the government needs to tighten their belts instead of going to everyday people, who it was government that shut down these businesses. And so instead of trying to take more people's money, they need to tighten their belts. They maybe need to reduce government, and we need to get this big, big middle class going again, Jason McBride.
Well, I agree 100%. You know, you put a dollar into the government, by the time it comes out the other end, you're lucky if it's still a dime, and then they figure out how to waste most of the dime.
You're going to love the quote at the end of the show.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know that you're going to love that. Let's go to break and continue on with this. You know, I'm a numbers person. You know, my strongest subject has always been math.
So you're actually a boy?
Don't go there on that. As of this morning, I'm identifying as, never mind what am I identifying.
Okay.
But we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another one of my great sponsors is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And have you been out there yet, Jason?
I have not been out there.
You need to do that, because you're going to love that.
I'm going to head out.
Okay. So they have all kinds of knives from the best blade makers throughout the world. They have knives for collectors, for military. I hadn't really thought about that. And when I was talking to Hal Van Herke, who is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, you know, I have interviewed so many of these World War II veterans. And several of the guys that they jumped in on D-Day, and they had these quick release parachutes. And they say almost to a guy, they were so, you know, the adrenaline was going so, you know, so crazy that they didn't use the quick release on those parachutes. They actually had a knife, and they cut that knife. So I realized that in the military, you know, having a blade that you trust is really, really important as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so they have knives for military, of course, for sportsmen. I have been going to some weddings and have been giving some beautiful knife sets, kitchen knife sets for gifts. So check it out. Castlegate.com is their website. But I'd recommend, they're open 7 days a week. Go out to Sedalia. There's a number of great restaurants out there. And check out Castlegate Knife and Tool. We'll be right back with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. In studio with me is a valued partner, and that is Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management and all your colleagues there at Presidential. Jason, I find this analysis that you did regarding the Trump tax cuts absolutely fascinating. Knowledge is power. So when you are talking with people and they just flippantly say, the Trump tax cuts, no, they were just for millionaires and billionaires. You're saying, no, that's not the case. I find it so interesting. In our first scenario, a couple making $150,000 with a couple of children, they saved almost $6,000 a year. A scenario number two, married to dependents, $75,000. And that was a 22% decrease in their overall tax rate. A married couple, $75,000 in income. They saw a 33% decrease in their overall tax rate. That is significant for everyday hardworking people, Jason.
That's a lot of money. A third of your taxes disappeared.
Yay.
Which is great. So certainly, yeah, you could see that the middle class is definitely benefiting from this.
And to that point, what I have really learning, in fact, I met with some women last night and we had some homework and I was rereading the Communist Manifesto. And the Communist Manifesto, the two things is to get rid of the individual and to get rid of private property. And one of the ways you get rid of private property is you use tax policy, which Steve just loves, unpredictable and excessive taxation, to take more and more people's stuff. Trump comes in, he says, no. Hey, everyday people, you can keep more of your money. So let's continue on. Where do you want to go with this?
I think that's great. Well, let's just run right to the next scenario. Boy, the time always goes so fast, Kim. It's something.
It is.
Let's take a single person with no dependents that's doing okay. You know, $100,000 a year income. In 2017, they had a combined federal and state tax rate of about 22.2%. Now, they didn't get as big of a break in 2018. I mean, they still got a break down to 19.5%. Taxes in 2017 were about $22,300 versus $19,500 in 2018. So they ended up with about an extra $2,800 in their pocket for the year, and they saw about a 12% decrease in their tax rate. Now, here's what I would say. You know, that's less of a decrease than what you're seeing with some of the folks that had dependents and children. And I kind of think
dependents and children are the same thing, aren't they?
Well, yeah, generally. I okay. guess they are, that had children. Let's just keep it simple. And that makes sense to me. A big part of the Trump tax cuts was the way that they changed the tax breaks for families that have children. You get a much bigger tax break for your children than the way it used to work. It used to be a deduction. Now it's just a straight tax credit. But I think that makes sense. I mean, a family that has the responsibility of taking care of two children probably, and this in my opinion, someone could get mad at me, and that's fine. That wouldn't be anything abnormal. maybe needs a little bit more of a tax break than someone that doesn't have kids.
Okay, now.
And I may be wrong, but that's just.
Okay, so one of the things that I have heard people say that, hey, it's not fair that people that have children get tax breaks for kids. But I'm gonna take this one step further then. So this single person mm-hmm. And no dependents, and so they don't get as much of a break. But we as a society are now expecting these kids to grow up and work and pay Social Security. So I think that people need to kind of remember that all that is kind of connected.
Well, it does come back. Yeah, I mean, they're going, that single person at $100,000 a year is paying into Social Security. They're paying into Medicare. They'll probably be paying more into it very, very soon, you would think, at some point.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to address that. I wanted to mention one other thing, though. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have made it very clear that they are going to put in programs that will raise taxes. Now, there may be a few people that say, I don't mind paying more in taxes. But I, just human nature, I'm going to say, I mean, I guess I can't, I don't have a scientific percentage. But most people I know like to have more money in their pocket and pay less in taxes. An example of that was, remember when the tax cuts were going in on this, mm-hmm. and there was a different way that they were going to, like the high tax states, people were not going to get to deduct as much of, I think, their mortgage insurance,
well,
or their mortgages?
SALT, state and local taxes.
Okay.
Is what it is.
So they were not able to deduct as much.
Right.
And so many people prepaid those taxes. And I remember seeing a newspaper picture of people in Boulder County lined up to pay their taxes early so that they would pay less in taxes the next year.
Right.
And Boulder is typically a bastion of people that say we like to pay taxes, but they like to have other people pay taxes.
Well, you don't have to get permission from the government to send in more taxes. Feel free.
There you go. So, okay, Jason McBride, let's do one more scenario for sure.
Okay, well, let's do this one. We're not going to be able to get to every one. I want to look at some of these millionaires and billionaires, as you
okay.
say, Kim, because that's what there's some attack there. So, you know, let's look at this, because this is, again, where we've heard, again, Tucker and Trish, the hedge fund managers and these rich guys pay a lower tax rate than a New York City cop. We've heard people say, oh, Mitt Romney pays a lower tax rate than
his secretary,
than whoever. Well, that's Warren Buffett.
Oh.
Warren Buffett is constantly lamenting about how his secretary pays a higher tax rate than he does. I don't buy it. If we look, let's look at a situation here. Again, this is, you know, married with two dependents with $1 million of income.
Okay.
$1 million, where $100,000 is just regular income and the other $900,000 is long-term capital gains.
Okay.
Because that's what they're always attacking.
Got it, got it.
Why
okay.
do these guys get a better deal for investing than people that work for the money? There's all kinds of reasons for that. Probably don't have time to go into it today.
People could call you, though, and you'll
But they could them. Call, yeah. But here's the thing. You know, in 2017, again, those folks with the long-term gains mostly and $100,000 of income, $1 million total, federal tax rate of 21.5%, total, including Colorado, was about 26.1%. Well, in 2018, they did get a small break down to 24.2%. Now, this, again, just using the standard deduction, they saw a 7% decrease in their taxes, ended up with an extra about $19,000 in their pocket, which is, you know, it's kind of peanuts to somebody making $1 million a year. But
everybody likes peanuts.
That's right. But they didn't get, a huge percentage break, like the middle class families did. Now, the other thing, Kim, is I ran the numbers. Again, I keep going back to this stuff of, again, Buffett, oh, my secretary pays a higher tax rate than I do. Well, let's go back to 2017. And remember, I said that these guys that had $1 million in income had a 21.5% tax rate, federal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order to hit 21.5% federal tax, if you were just a secretary working and getting an income, just getting a paycheck, you would have had to have $285,000 worth of income. So either Warren Buffett is not being completely honest, or his secretary gets paid a whole heck of a lot of money and really doesn't have anything to complain about if she has to pay a little bit of taxes on it. Okay? Now, let's go to 2018 because it gets even better. With the Trump tax cuts, you know, Warren Buffett with his $1 million of income or whoever that was, their federal tax rate is 19.7%, 2018. The income required to hit 19.7%, again, for Warren Buffett's secretary, is now $383,000. So it's almost $100,000 more than it was in 2017. So she got a tremendous tax break, and poor Warren did not get as big of a tax break. So I just don't buy that either, that, higher incomes don't pay any taxes. They do pay taxes. Now, there may be some different write-offs for business, but as we pointed out, they kind of took it in the shorts, too, in some ways, on these state and local deductions.
Right.
And just a word on that, Kim. I'm not too sure I'm thrilled about that part of the Trump tax cuts, because I think it did hit some folks, especially back east, that, you know, had owned homes forever, that had appreciated so much, and now their taxes are just untenable. They can't deduct them.
I think that what should happen, though, that is that state and local governments
need to cut their
taxes. They need to cut their taxes, what they need to do.
Is what they should do. The other part of that, and I'll be quick, Kim, that I worry about, I don't want to have a bunch of people necessarily leave New York and go to Florida and take their politics
take
with
their
them.
Take their voting with
because
them.
Because it doesn't take much to flip Florida. You can lose a lot of people from New York, and it's still going to be very Democrat.
Well, that's for sure. If you're moving to Florida because you don't want to pay more in taxes, don't vote for people that want to raise your taxes.
Right.
Jason McBride, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, no problem.
I would highly recommend people either go to airpresidential.com or my website and download this so that you can talk to your neighbors and your friends and your colleagues about this. Our quote for today is, again, Robert Heinlein, and he said, government, three-fourths parasitic and the other fourth stupid fumbling. I thought you'd like that, Jason McBride. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.